Our theme this year is to press on. We're going to press on. Not just getting started, we're going to press on. So we talked about that, and then we talked about pressing in and the value of pressing in. I want to go on this morning and talk about pressing through. We need to press through some things. Listen to Hebrews 12 and verses 1 to 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here is a portion of scripture that tells us we need to push through some things. We need to endure. Keep enduring till you press through. And it says, you know, we have weights, we have sins, and we're going to talk about different aspects of that in this message that we need to lay aside so we can press through and endure. And then it gets the example of Jesus. It says, Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He pushed through the cross to the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And to press through, we need to endure. And Jesus pressed through some things to obtain the promise. This is what it says in Hebrews 6:15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This is speaking of Abram, who had been given a promise that he was going to be the father of a great nation, but he had no children and went for years in having no children. But it said he endured with patience, patiently endured, so he could obtain the promise. I want you to know that you have to press through some things to obtain the promise. And look at Jesus, who came and he had to endure the cross in order to press through to obtain the joy that was set before him. The thing he had to press through was the major thing. I mean, if he hadn't have endured the cross, if he had listened to the voices at the foot of the cross that said, if you be the Son of God, come down, show yourself. You said you could save others, but you can't even save yourself. If you are who you say you are, come down. But he endured that. He pushed through that. So he had the joy that was set before him. There are many things that we face, and this scripture says we are to endure. We're running a race. We have a course that we are to finish. It's the course of your life. What's your plan? What God plans for you? What he wants you to do? Now, on this course, this race, you have to endure. Jesus had to endure the cross. If he hadn't have endured the cross, his mission would have not just been hampered or delayed. It would have been completely sabotaged. The thing he had to endure and press through was actually the very thing that was going to bring about the salvation of the whole world. And I want you just to think about this for a moment. The thing that you are enduring right now in the course of your life, the thing that's pressuring you, the thing that you wish I didn't have to do this. Maybe the very thing that's to bring the fulfillment of the purpose for your life. Sometimes we don't think that. We get in our mind, you know, if I come to the Lord, well, everything's going to go fine. I have no problems. He answers my prayer. There's blessings in my life. And so, you know, if I was doing what God wants me to do, hey, I'd have no problems. I mean, I would just deal with stuff that comes up, but I wouldn't have to endure anything because I just prayed away. But that's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that for you to finish your course, You have to push through some things, endure some things that you wish you didn't have to. Even Jesus, I mean, I can't imagine the pain, distress, not just the physical pain, but the spiritual loss he experienced of fellowship with the Father as the sins of all the world came upon him. But he endured it. He pressed through it for the joy that was set before him. So this morning, I want to encourage us to hear some of these truths this morning to help you to push through, endure some of the things you're facing right now that you would wish away. I don't want to have this. There must be something wrong because I have this. But I want you to lay hold of a truth here that there are some things you just have to endure that you don't understand. And so I put in your notes, to press through, we need to endure. If you're going to press through some things and get through to the other side, it involves endurance. Endurance means I have to bear some things I don't like, some things that's not pleasant, things that are hurtful. But I have to bear those things. If I'm going to press through, I have to endure them. Many times we're wanting breakthrough. We want breakthrough. And we pray it right at the beginning. Lord, you know, if we get a difficulty, Lord, I want to break through this. And sometimes you don't realize you have to press through to have breakthrough. There's some things you just have to keep pressing against and through in order to have breakthrough. The breakthrough will come, but it requires endurance in order to experience it. So I just went through the scripture where it said we were to endure certain things. So as I just ran the scriptures on what it said we should endure, there were six things that became obvious that the scripture says you need to endure this if you're going to finish your race. And so here's the first one, temptation. You need to endure temptation. It says in James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You can be experiencing temptation, and it's the thing you need to endure so that you can obtain the promise. You can obtain that which God wants you to receive. You have to endure it. Enduring temptation. Now here's something I'd say about temptation. It doesn't mean that you never sin. To endure temptation means I never fail. Because Satan loves to catch us on this. You're weak. You keep failing. You're disappointing God. You'll never have what God wants for you because you fail. And Satan wants you to think, if I ever yield to temptation, then I'm a failure. It's over. But see, you're not enduring temptation. Now, I got to be careful how I'm wording this because I'm not in any way saying, hey, you have license to sin. As the Bible, but also we need to realize what the scripture says. If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So there is an enduring of temptation, an overcoming temptation, not yielding temptation. I mean, that's the goal. That's what he wants. But even when you fail, it doesn't mean it's over. And that, as Satan wants to say, you've disqualified yourself. He can't use you. Look what you did. Look what you think. Look what you keep falling into. Obviously, God can't bless you. He can't use you. And sometimes we just give up. Oh, what's the use? That's just the way I am. I can't overcome that. I can't defeat that. I might as well just quit trying. Well, then you didn't endure temptation. Part of enduring temptation is when you fall, you get up. When you fall down, you brush yourself up and you say, God, I'm getting up. I'm going to go again. Help me, strengthen me. If I fall 1,000 times, I'm going to get up 1,001 times. Because that is how you endure temptation. And as you do, you'll find you're strengthened. And just as a child who keeps walking and falling and walking and falling, but as they keep walking and falling, they finally get where they don't fall as much. And now they can run and they can do other things as you mature in the Lord. But you have to endure temptation. Never get to the point where you just say, you know what, I might as well just give in. And this is what Satan does. You thought it, you might as well do it. Listen, Jesus was tempted. In all points, such, how was he tempted? In his mind, his thoughts, his lusts were stirred. Oh no, Jesus' lusts would. Well, the Bible tells us in James 1, this is how temptation comes. When we're drawn away of our own lusts. But that's not sin. It says when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. It's what do you do when your lust is drawn away? What does it do when your mind goes to thoughts that are sinful? That the thoughts themselves are not sinful. It's what you do with them in that moment. Jesus was tempted yet without sin. So he was tempted. He knows what it means to be tempted. But you have to endure temptation. And you just have to realize it's part of my life. I'm always going to have temptation. Oh no, I don't. I don't believe that. Well, then you believe Satan's lie, who says you should be mature enough now. You should never be tempted. You should never want to do that. You should never desire that, because if you were a mature Christian, you wouldn't be tempted in that area. Now listen, we fall to it. I fall to it. I think I'm a pastor. I mean, I've taught other people. I should be beyond this temptation. But that's Satan's law. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give in. He wants you to feel down. He wants you to stop pressing. But you need to press through temptation. You have to endure temptation. Now, there's words in the scripture that are powerful. It talks about lasciviousness. It talks about licentiousness. It talks about concupiscence. Now, I don't have time this morning to go into all those words. But you know, if you look them up in the dictionary, you learn some things. Let's look at this word licentiousness. We are not to be licentious. Well, what does that mean, to be licentious? It means this, unrestrained, lacking moral restraint. You become licentious when you just give in to temptation. Well, I can't defeat that. It always beats me. I might as well just, God understands, that's the way I am. He understands. Well, God does understand, but he doesn't want you to be licentious. He wants you to have a moral restraint. I'm glad that when I sin, I have a moral restraint. I mean, I feel terrible. I feel awful. That's because I don't want to have a licentious heart. I don't want to have a heart that just gives in, just yields. I want a heart that's restrained. Well, someone says, well, you know, I overcame the temptation 9 times, but the 10th time it defeated me. And the devil will point to the 10th time. He doesn't want you to see the 9 times where you exercised restraint. He wants you to see the 1 time you didn't. And he wants you to focus on that so that now you'll give up and you won't endure it. But you've got to just press through that. It doesn't mean that you condone it. No, you can't condone it. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin because grace abounds? No, God forbid. How can we who gave ourselves to Christ continue it? In other words, when your heart has been changed, you just can't freely say, well, I'll just keep sinning, God will forgive me. No, you're grieved every time you sin. And you get up again and you go again because you're going to endure temptation. It's important that you endure temptation. Now, I could say a lot of things about that. I've heard the expression, you've heard it. Opportunity only knocks once. Opportunity knocks once. But I want you to know, temptation bangs on the door all day long. Opportunity may only knock once, but I tell you, temptation will keep banging on your heart day after day. And you say, oh, I shouldn't have that. Listen, you need to be aware that you're vulnerable. and not think more highly of yourself. You know, Bible says, take heed what you think that you will stand, but you'll fall. You need to be aware that you're vulnerable, but you trust in God, and you're availing yourself of the people around you. You need someone that you're accountable to. Temptation grows and gets stronger in the dark. But when you share your temptation with someone and you say, this is something that I'm struggling with. Would you pray with me? Would you ask me how I'm doing next week? Now that strengthens you. I always tell other pastors because, see, sometimes as pastors you think, well, you know, they're godly men of God. They're mature. They know God's word. God has used them to do mighty works. But folks, we know the history of looking at the church. Some of the greatest people that we've admired and looked up to, we've seen that they've fallen. So you have to take heed lest you fall. I always tell pastors, someone needs to know your strongest temptation. Someone needs to know what you don't want to tell anybody. I tell you, that's a powerful truth. That will help you to endure temptation. Because we are not, says one will fall, but twos. If one will, you know, if one falls, another one will pick him up. That two's better than one, three's better. The more that you have, you don't have to share it with everyone. But to endure temptation, you have to be open and honest and not full of pride. And you have to humble yourself. And you ask for God's help. You ask other people to pray for you. It will strengthen you and will help you to press through temptation. It'll help you to endure temptation till you come out the other side. And as this scripture says, receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those. So if we endure temptation, you're going to receive that promise of life. Here's the next one that the scripture says we are to endure: hardship. Oh, I don't even like that word, hardship. I mean, that implies struggle and effort and pain and discomfort. I don't want hardship. I want a nice, easy life. I give my life to the Lord. He's going to make everything go good for me. No, the scripture says you're to endure hardship, 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Lord views us as his soldiers. What soldier would join an army and think, you know what? Never going to have any discomfort. I'll always have a nice bed to sleep in, 3 meals a day, never be put at risk. No, we know that's not the life of a soldier. Not if they go to battle. If they're going to go to battle and win the cause, there's going to be some discomfort. And you have to train. And soldiers train to be good soldiers. In fact, they aspire. I mean, Navy SEALs are some of the elite of the elite. And what they have to go through in their training, a lot of people don't make it. But they train them, they force them right to the edge of what they can endure. And when they come out the other side, they're so proud they're a Navy SEAL. They want to go on the assignments. They want to go where no one else wants to go. They want to go into jeopardy because they've trained. They build up their stamina. They realize, I am a soldier. I am a Navy SEAL. You know what? God wants us all to be Navy SEALs for him. We're soldiers in this army, and we need to endure hardship, difficult times, things that come against us, things that we don't want to endure, that exhaust us, tire us out, that puts us in jeopardy. We don't want those things. But now here's the story of David. David was a shepherd boy, keeping the sheep. His dad said, hey, your brothers have gone to war. I want you to go down and see how the battle's going. So David goes down to find his brothers, who they're in a stalemate against the Philistines because Goliath has come out and challenged them. You know, send me a man that will fight with me. Well, David hears this And everyone in Israel, they're quaking. They don't want to go forward. And David speaks up and he says, isn't anyone going to rise to the challenge? He's defying the armies of the living God. And the brothers got angry and upset with David. And they said, where did you leave the sheep? You don't know anything about it. Just be quiet. Just, we know your heart. You're just vain. You think you're more than you are. You can read it in the scripture. And then David's response, he said, but isn't there a cause? Wow. Isn't there a cause? See, David wasn't just being vain. He knew the cause. Isn't there a battle? Isn't there a war to be won here? Why are you shying away from the battle? The hardship, the danger going forward. Isn't there a cause? Oh man, isn't there a spiritual cause? Are you a Christian for a reason, for a purpose? Isn't there some reason why you're serving God? It's not just for you. It's not that you have a nice life, no problems, no difficulties. Isn't there a cause? When you see the cause, you'll be able to endure hardship. There becomes an excitement. I want to do my part. I want to be victorious. Not that I'm seen to be victorious, but because of the cause, for the purposes of God. There's something to stand for here. And if we will do, we'll endure hardship. James 5:11 says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Talking about Job. Well, in the middle of that, was the Lord compassionate and merciful? I mean, he loses everything. Loses his family, loses all his goods. Now he's got sores all over him. The Lord's good and compassionate. Said in the end he was. The Lord was allowing the hardship to come for a purpose. There was a cause of why Job went through that. He came out the other side, and then you could say, yes, the Lord was merciful and compassionate. He had double everything that he had. Now he has respect. Now he has influence. He has come through this. But in the middle of Job's experience, when he was pressing through it, his wife was telling him to deny God. His friends came and visited him and said, oh, there must be something wrong in your life or you wouldn't be going through all this. You have to endure. What are you going through? What are the hardships you're enduring right now? Well, why? 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 Why are you going through that? I don't know completely. I mean, it said Job was a perfect man. So much so that the Lord was boasting on him. You considered my servant Job? Satan said, it's just serving you for all the things you've given him. So the Lord said, okay, test him. I don't know why all that happened. I know God's ways are beyond our ways. I don't know why some of us go through difficulties, others don't go through. When you could say, you know what, I've been doing my best to serve God. This has come up. I'm going through this. I don't just press through it. You gotta endure. You just have to say, I don't understand why this is happening, but I trust God. I'm trusting God. And you just have to endure. I put in your notes, hardship and suffering are just a normal part of a soldier's life. It's just a normal part of your Christian experience is that you will suffer hardship. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 39. I put it in the New Living Translation. This is what, now, he's writing to Christians, so let these verses sort of speak to you. He's writing these Christians, and he says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. You knew there was something better on the other side when you pressed through these things. Verse 35, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he's promised. And then he quotes this portion from Habakkuk, where it says, for in just a little while the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. And then he concludes with verse 39. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. So just know you have to endure hardship. Don't be thrown off by it. Another verse says, don't think it strange when fiery trials come your way. Oh, this is strange. This shouldn't be happening. No, it's just part of it. Your trials may be different than someone else. You'll be more or less like Job. All depends on what God wants. You're running your own race. You're running your own course. God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to endure patient endurance, because it doesn't always happen the way you think it will. So you got to be patient. Patient endurance. Here's the next one. Undeserved suffering. Well, we talked about suffering. We talked about hardship. But that's almost like you sort of volunteered for it, you know? There's a cause. I've given myself to it. I'm in the battle. You know, I'm trusting God for the victory. But what's this business of, this is undeserved. This shouldn't have happened. Something is wrong here. I don't mind fighting the battle, but this should not have happened. Now listen to what the verse says here in 1 Peter 2:19. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now this is what really throws us off. Satan wants to emphasize to you, this was wrong. These people were wrong. This is not just the battle. These people are wrong. This is not what God wanted. God would never want this, because God always does right. But this is wrong. And I'm suffering because of the wrongful actions of someone else. Now, does this trip you up? It can. A lot of people get tripped up. They won't press through this. They just throw up their hands. Well, if that's the way Christians are, well, then I don't want to be a Christian. I don't know why this happened. They should never have done that. Reminds you a little bit of Joseph. I use Joseph a lot because he's such a great illustration of this. Has great dreams of grandeur, and he's sold by his brothers into slavery. He's bought by Potiphar, and so Joseph sort of says, well, I'm going to press through this. I'm just going to be a good servant to Potiphar. And he is. He rises through the ranks, and then Potiphar's wife has eyes for him, tempts him. Joseph does what's right. He repels the temptation, but now she lies about him. Now he is wrong. He's suffering wrongfully. He's thrown into prison. What for? His integrity, doing what he thought was right, doing what felt God wanted him to do. But now he's in prison. Why is he in prison? He could have given up, but he doesn't give up. He just keeps pressing through. He starts serving the jailer, rises in the ranks of the jail till he can travel from one place, one cell to another cell. He meets the butler. He meets the baker of the Pharaoh, and I won't go into the whole story. He interprets the butler's dream. He tells the butler, don't forget me when you get out. You know, let me get out of here. And the butler forgets him. Goes another 2 years. He could have given up. He could have said, what's the use? What's the benefit of my trying to serve God and keep my integrity? How has it benefited me? You know what? He pressed through it. He just pressed through until he came out the other side. And again, the whole story I can't tell you, but he comes out the other side. He's the ruler of Egypt. They've come down. He's dispensing food. His brothers come down. The brothers, when they find out who he is, they think he's going to kill us. And Joseph says, you know what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Look, 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 you're going to be spared. The family's going to be spared. You're going to have food for the whole family. God's used me. He allowed all the things that happened to get me where I am now. But he had to press through every phase of it. What phase are you in your life? Just press through. You say, well, I went through two phases earlier, and this is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Just keep pressing through. Just keep trusting God. Just say, hey, I'm going to press through this. I'm going to press through this. I don't understand. This is undeserved suffering. I didn't ask for this. The people that did it, they were wrong in doing it. But you just press through it. That brings us to the next one, persecution. You're to endure persecution. Matthew 13:20. Jesus gives a parable about the soils and the seed on different soils. And some fell on stony soil. This portion of scripture is when the Lord interprets it. In Matthew 13:20. He who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, there's many aspects of persecution, but let me just dwell on this one because we've already talked about hardship and suffering. I think sometimes we're persecuted by those that we're the closest to. Sometimes we feel persecuted by other Christians. We're trying to do what's right, but other Christians are treating us wrong. We're persecuted falsely for righteousness' sake. You're trying to do what's right. They're condemned. Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. The whole village of Nazareth rejected Jesus. Said, who does he think he is? He's putting on airs. This is the carpenter's son. We remember when he was, who does he think he is? And he couldn't do any great work there because of their unbelief. He was persecuted by people that he loved and cared the most about. I tell you, this is hard to endure this. And a lot of people don't endure it. And they say, I've had enough of this. The people that I tried to help, people who I've sacrificed for, now they've turned on me. And they're saying all kinds of things about me. They're condemning me. And it's not right. I'm misunderstood. They're not acting the way God wants them to act. You know what you got to do when that happens? Just press through. Just stay the course. Keep your heart right. Be humble. Be kind. Be gracious. Be loving. Just don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, return blessing. Knowing that you're called to this, that we can inherit the blessing of God. This is what we're called to. This is what it's about. Don't get thrown off by this when it happens. Just realize this is what's in front of me. And the very thing you would want to dismiss may be the cross that you have to endure to bring the resurrection life as Jesus endured the cross. Maybe the things you're enduring, don't just feel like, oh, we need to get rid of this cross. This cross should never come up. I should never have to handle this. This is wrong. And then you get thinking, right and wrong. You want to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, don't do that. That'll kill you. Just eat from the tree of life. Just keep your heart on the Lord. Let me, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'll take care of this. You don't have to do anything other than endure. Love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. All the things the Bible tells us, you're being tested to endure and keep doing these things. So don't get sidetracked. Don't get put to the side where the very mission that you're on is sabotaged. You just have to keep enduring. Keep pressing through. Because the breakthrough will come if you keep pressing through. I put in your notes, your inward core determines your outward endurance. The seed that went down into the hearts of these people was stony ground. There was a hardness of heart. Because the Bible says the soil was the hearts of people. So they had hard hearts. They received the gospel, started to serve God. It sprung up, but it didn't endure the test, the persecution. When the sun came out, it didn't endure. Because it had, the Bible says here, Jesus said, they had no root in themselves. You know what? Your inner core, that which is in your heart. Don't look to the church. Don't look to people in the church. Don't look to the pastor. Don't look to leaders. You've got to put your roots down into God, in God's word, and have your trust in him, and your hope is in God, because people will fail you. Churches will fail you. But your trust is not in those things. You're not going to be shaken. You're just going to keep pressing through, keep pressing on. Keep your heart clear. Keep your heart pure. A lot of times God just breaking up the hardness of your heart. You ever work with plasticine when you were a kid? I don't even know what they have that now, but it used to be, they called it plasticine, and it's a clump of something, and you could make it into different things, and as a kid. But if you ever took the lump, it was hard. You couldn't shape it. What'd you have to do? Knead it. Work it. You just have to keep working it and twisting it, and you fold it up, push it again until it gets warm, until it gets pliable. And then after you've worked it a bit, you can make what you want. I don't know, but maybe that's why we go through some of the things we're going through. Maybe God's just working our hearts. Well, I don't know why I had to go through this. Why did that come up? Other people don't have that. Well, maybe he's just working your heart and just softening it. He wants to get the lumps out, the hard places out. And he just knows, you know what? You got to respond. You got to respond right. You got to keep humble. You're going through this. It's a fiery trial. It's something that was going to be for your good if you just trust it and keep going through, keep going on, pressing through it. And you can't explain it. Well, why did that happen to them, but it didn't happen to them? And they seem to have a much better life than these Christians. And you don't know. Why did it happen to Job? I don't know. Why did Joseph? Well, we know in the end, we see why it happened, but we don't know when they're going through it. We don't know when we're going through it. You just have to keep pressing through it to get to the other side, to see what the promise, what the blessing is on the other side. Just keep enduring. Keep enduring to the end. Speaking about Jesus, Hebrews 12:3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. I don't want my soul to get discouraged. Keep your soul with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's the next thing that you have to endure. Chastening. Oh, I don't like chastening. Chastening. What's chastening? That's not the enemy. Chastening isn't someone that hates you. Chastening is the Father disciplining his sons and daughters because they need to be disciplined if they're going to be mature, useful, responsible adults. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 12:7. If you, here's the word, endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now here's what happens. It's not the enemy. It's not something, another person or another Christian. You realize, I messed up. I failed. I missed it. I acted wrongly. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. Oh, I wish I had never done that. And as a result, consequences come. God is a good father that allows us to suffer the consequences of our wrongs. It's so we realize the danger. When you touch a hot stove, it burns. I'm so glad it burns because you just lean on it and no consequence. Oh, well, now I see the consequence. God allows us to sting and hurt when we do wrong. And he allows us to suffer the consequences of it. We hold it. Sometimes, and we brought it on ourselves. You have to endure that chastening. You know, it's amazing the Bible lists these six things. We're on number five here. You're just to endure it and say, God, you know more than I do. I don't understand it. I wish I had never done that. But you know what? I'm not going to give up. Not going to give up on you. Not going to give up on the church. Not going to give up on those people. And yes, I was wrong. But you know what? God, I trust you. And I know that you'll bring me through this. And I'm not going to harden my heart. I'm going to keep my heart soft. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep kind. I want to be humble. I want to learn from this, Lord. That's the stance when you're going through chastening. And sometimes there's consequences. You know, you do something wrong and there's some discipline that comes. Some people, they're in jail. They're Christians. But they did something before. Because they went to jail, they became a Christian. But they don't always get out. And they have to suffer the consequence. Why? Why did, you know, you've heard me say this so many times. Why did Paul, why was he in prison? He wanted to get out. He wanted to spread the word. He said, pray that I would have a door open to me. What am I going to do in the meantime? Well, I guess I'll write letters to the churches. It's not the best. In fact, he even said in his letters, I wish I was there with you in person, but I sent this letter by Timothy to you. Not knowing that we're reading those letters today and they're blessing. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have read those letters. How would he have known that? He just kept pressing through. I wish I was out. He doesn't know. He doesn't know why God isn't answering his prayer. God knows. He's got bigger purposes than we can figure out. So I'm trying to encourage you today to just keep pressing through. Keep pressing on. You won't understand it all, but just keep pressing on. Don't give up. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart right. Let me read this final verse in Ezekiel 22:14. Can your heart endure? Or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. You know, nothing is outside of God's purview. Because you'll say, well, why is God allowing that? Why did my baby die? Why did that happen? I don't understand that. That should never have happened. Nothing is outside of God's purview. He says he's looking at the whole thing. He says, will you endure? Will your heart endure through it? Will your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? So God's allowing things to come into our life. We don't understand why. But just keep pressing through. Here's the last one. Not seeing the results when expected. So here we're doing all these things. We're doing everything right. And we expect, you know what? I'm going to get through this. But when you expected to get through it, it doesn't happen. The results don't come in your timetable. We want to endure until. Lord, I want you to do something in the next 3 months. It's been a year, Lord. I'm not going to endure anymore. I'm not expected. This is beyond what anyone would ever expect. No, you just, it's not happening when you expect it to happen. The Bible says, just keep enduring. And it says in Hebrews 11:27, speaking about Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he has a call. He knows. He said he'd rather suffer affliction with the children of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. I mean, his heart was right. He sees an Egyptian abusing his fellow brother. He tries to separate them. In the process, the Egyptian's killed. Now they turn on him, all the things we've been talking. The next day he's separating two Hebrew fighters and they say, you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Now he realizes things known. So in the process, he ends up in the desert for 40 years. 40 years he's in the desert. And he just keeps pressing on. And it says here that his faith was in that which he did not see, the invisible one. You have to just trust in the invisible God who I don't understand why, I don't see why this is happening. I just trust God. 40 years, Moses is there. Why is he there 40 years? He knows every inch of that ground that he's going to lead the children of Israel through. He's tended sheep. Now he's attending, leading the children of Israel. He's mellowed. The Bible says that Moses was one of the meekest men that ever lived. Why? I think it was 40 years he's out in the desert thinking, you know what? I thought God had brought me a deliverer. I tried, didn't work out. Here I am. I'm just raising a family. I'm tending these sheep in the wilderness. But God knew. God knows. And it says he endured seeing the thing that was invisible. And here's Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. You know these verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You know what? Faith allows you to see things that are not seen. You just trust God. You're looking at the invisible God, saying, I don't see the results, but I trust him who holds all things in his hands. So you just keep pressing into God. You just keep faith in your heart towards God. It says in Hosea 6:3, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. So you just have to keep pressing into God and say, you know, as sure as the dawn, God is in this. I may not see it, but I'm trusting the one that's invisible. In his time, he's going to bring it about. The spring rains are going to water my heart, my soul. It's going to bring a harvest. I don't understand how, but I just trust God. Final verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You just have to keep pressing through. Whatever is in front of you, just keep pressing through. And God's going to bring the results in his time, and you'll be amazed. I think a lot of things we're not going to know until eternity. And then in that time, we're all going to just bow down before the Lord and say, God, you do all things well. You are a good God. Then we're going to know as we're known. But now we look through a glass darkly. So now you have to exercise that faith. I don't understand, God, but I trust you. My heart's for you. My faith is in you. I believe you're doing something good out of this, and he is. Stand with me this morning. We started with the verse that says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race. You're not alone. There's all kinds of people around us, a great cloud of witnesses, the people we've mentioned in the Bible, people down through the ages. They've run their course. They're looking on. They're cheering us on. They say, keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just around the corner, if you don't give up. They're cheering us on, this great cloud of witnesses, to keep going. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it encourages us and strengthens us. I pray, Lord, that our faith would be increased this morning. We'd have new understanding. We'd understand the way Satan tries to exploit us, throw us off our path, tries to discourage us. But Lord, we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to press into you with all of our heart and all of our mind. We're going to press through whatever's in our way, temptation, hardship, persecution, chastening, all these things, Lord. We're going to press through to lay hold of the prize that you have for us. Strengthen us all, Lord. Encourage us today. Give us strength beyond ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray.